And they actually formulated a religion that they called the religion of humanity. They actually invented a religion from their own self, wal'iyadu billah. So promise as Muslims that we protect, na'am, our belief, that we protect our internet, that we protect ourselves against these ideologies of disbelief that are being spread. And the only way to do this, habibukum Allah, is to stick to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, ثم جعلناك على شريعة من الأمر فاتبعها ولا تتبع أهواء الذين لا يعلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we put you, Muhammad, on a sharia, a legislative path. Revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'am. Because Allah عز وجل said in the Quran, أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. Is not Allah the best of judges? No doubt Allah is the best of judges, the most wise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, we have placed you, Muhammad, upon a sharia, a divine legislation that came from Allah Azza wa Jal, revelation from Allah. And Allah is the best of judges. Allah is al-Hakim, the most wise. Allah Azza wa Jal is al-Alim, the all-knowing. And Allah commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and follow this sharia, follow this divine law, and do not follow the desires of those who know not. Allah. That is why in our time, the Muslim had to be firm in his belief. In our time, the Muslim cannot compromise about the fundamentals of the religion. Let's take an example. And after I mention this example, I want to read and share with the brothers some of the words of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah concerning fi dhambi al-hawa, condemnation of desires and lust. If we were to take the example of alcohol, khamr, right? And we know الدين مبني على المصالح في جلبها والذي للقبائح. The religion of Islam is built upon weighing the benefits against the harms. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He commands with is that which is beneficial, either totally beneficial in itself or beneficial as a whole. And anything Allah Azza wa Jalla prohibits is either totally evil and harmful or generally harmful as a whole. So let's take an example. The example of khamr, alcohol. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر. They ask you about alcohol and they ask you about gambling. قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. Say that the sin and the harm of alcohol and gambling is great, but they are unlimited number of benefits. وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. But the sin and the evil and the harm of these two things outweigh any amount of good that may be present. If somebody was to come today, a philosopher, whoever they are, and they were to say, and they were to argue, and they were to say, alcohol is beneficial. Alcohol is beneficial, and it is something that is good, and it's something that is fine and it's lawful. It's a statement of disbelief. Why? Because that is rejection of the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's cool. Total disbelief. Because that individual, he's saying whether they acknowledge it or not, I know better what is beneficial for mankind and what is harmful for mankind. So that's why we have to understand this battle between truth and falsehood. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was sent with the greatest of fundamentals to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to proclaim to the Pharisees of the Arab and the non-Arab. And remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah azza wa jalla despised all of them, Arabahum wa ajamahum, the Arab of the earth and the non-Arab of the earth, illa baqai min ahli kitab, except for remnants of the people of the book. That was before the sending of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, he was sent with the message of Allah azza wa jalla, which was to worship Allah alone, at-tawheed, without any partner, and to shun all forms of shirk. Shirk of the heart, shirk of the tongue, shirk of the limbs. To abandon all forms of shirk. He never came with this idea of liberalism. You can believe what you want. And even those who say that they are liberalists, as we explained before, they do not practice this. And the proof of that, if you disagree with something, even theologically, and you say, listen, I reject violence, we can live together in peace and harmony, and we can respect one another. But if you say, for example, something that they promote and they hold to be sacred, you say, I don't accept that because I'm a Muslim. Look how they would try and demonize you in the media, or demonize you with regards to your reputation and your name. So that's why it's important, brothers and sisters, to understand this concept of dhamm al-hawa, condemnation of desire. Anything that goes against Quran and Sunnah, the Muslims cannot accept it. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala has a whole chapter concerning what? Fi dhamm al-hawa, and we will select inshaAllah ta'ala some part of this so that we can relate it to the lecture that we're speaking at this moment in time. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, he mentions this as al-Tafi Ashab, the 19th point. He says, to know anna shaytan, to know that the devil does not have any point of entrance upon the son of Adam, illa min babi hawa, except from the avenue of their lust and their desires. And that's the danger of al-hawa. And that is why the people of falsehood, they try and misguide people, utilizing what? Utilizing lust and desires. And he also mentioned, he said, Al-Ishroon, أن الله سبحانه وتعالى جعل الهوى. Allah عز وجل سبحانه وتعالى has made lust, immoral lust and desires, totally opposite to what he sent his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم with. وقسم الناس إلى قسمين. And Allah عز وجل divided mankind into two camps. There are two camps. You can't sit on the fence. He said, وَقَدْسَمَ النَّاسِ إِلَىٰ قِسْمَيْنِ أَتْبَاعِ الْوَحِيِ. You have followers of revelation, وَأَتْبَاعِ الْهَوَىٰ, and followers of lust and desire. We believe, the philosophers, when they promote what opposes the Qur'an and the Sunnah, following the hawa. That's something we have to be firm upon, and we cannot compromise as it relates to that. وَهَذَا كَثِيرٌ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. If a person was to read the Qur'an, they would find this in many places. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكْ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. If they do not respond and answer you, then know that they only follow their desires. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. Likewise, and Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said concerning al-hawa, look, he said al-hawa, immoral lusts and desires, and the tawheed wa tiba' al-hawa mutabadan. Tawheed and hawa, following immoral lusts and desires, he said they are total opposites. Look how it goes back to tawheed. That's why this is about safeguarding the tawheed. May Allah give you blessings and back on the tawheed and the sunnah. He said, فَإِنَّ الْهَوَى صَنَمْ, because lust and desires, they are an idol. Al-hawa is an idol. وَلِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ صَنَمْ فِي قَلْبِي بِحَجْبِ هَوَى, and every servant, you will find that they will have in their heart an idol depending upon their level of their immorality and their indecent lust and desires. وَإِنَّمَا بَعَثَ اللَّهُ رُسُلَهُ بِكَثْرِ الْأَصْنَامِ, Allah sent the messengers to annihilate and break these idols. So yes, there are idols that people worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Muslims, and this cannot be changed, it's a historical fact, when the Muslims had the ability, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the leader of the Muslims, he commanded that the idols be broken. But likewise, Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, also Allah azza wa tabarak wa ta'ala sent the messengers to destroy the idols that are present in the hearts of the people. Allahu Akbar. And he sent the messengers so that Allah Azza wa Jalla is worshipped alone without any partners. وَلَيْسَ مُرَادُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ كَسْرَ الْأَسْنَامَ الْمُجَسَّدَ وَتَرْكَ الْأَسْنَامَ الَّتِي فِي الْقَلْبِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla tabarak wa ta'ala did not only want that the physical idols be broken, but the idols that are in the heart remain. No, Allah Azza wa Jalla tabarak wa ta'ala, he wanted for the idols, the physical idols, to be broken along with the idols that exist in the heart of the human being. He said, بَلِ الْمُرَادِ كَسْرُهَا مِنَ الْقَلْبِ أَوَّلًا. The intent was for the idols in the heart to be broken first, and then later on the idols that actually existed. Yes, if you look at the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with the message of Allah, the message of God, there were idols in the Kaaba. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time in Mecca, and the Sahaba, they did not have any ability to change that. However, the idols were broken in the hearts of the believers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the believers that which was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it destroyed the idols that may have existed prior to that in the heart and in the mind. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, قال الحسن بن علي المطوعي صنم كل إنسان هواء. The idols of every person is their lusts and their desires. فمن كثره بالمخالفة, so the one who conquers them by opposing their lusts and their desires. And then Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentioned other things, and he mentioned the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Have you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seen him who has taken his ilah, his God, to be his own design? Would you be a wakil over him? Addition to that, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned again, so we've established that The liberals, we said at times, are not very liberal. Rather, we see manifestations of intolerance from them. We've established that they take their lusts and their desires to be gods, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, false deities. And we mentioned that around their lusts and desires, they have allegiance, and also they hate depending upon what? Upon their hawa. Ibn Qayyim mentioned the same thing. He said, أَنَّ أَصْلَ الْعَدَاوَ وَالشَّرْءُ وَالْحَدْرُ الْوَاقِعُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ مِنْ اتِّبَاعِ الْهَوَى. He said the enmity and the evil and the jealousy that appears between the people, it is because they follow desires and immoral lusts. And brothers and sisters, somebody may say, well, okay, we live in this time, we're living in this era, what do we do? How do we safeguard our religion, which is Ra'sul Mal, which is the most important thing that we possess, more important than food and drink and even the air that we breathe? How do we protect our religion? How do we protect our hearts? How do we protect our intellect from being corrupted by immoral messages? Then the answer is that firstly we must learn our religion. We must learn our religion based upon the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the understanding of the companions. Likewise, we have to implement it, but at the same time we have to be firm and adamant upon it, to the extent that even in the faith, and look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَتَوْحِيد, and we said this is a matter of tawheed. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, he said this is a matter of tawheed, and that tawheed and following lusts and desires and opinions that have been developed by men, they are two opposites that can never be gathered together. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember, prior to him being sent by Allah Azza wa Jal with the message of God, the message of Allah Azza wa Jal, the people they used to describe him as Muhammad the trustworthy one, Muhammad the honorable one. He had an excellent reputation amongst the people, all of the people. But when Allah Azza wa Jal commanded him, فَاسْدَعْ, openly convey what you are being commanded, command the people to worship Allah alone, warn them against him. In a short period of time, now they started to what? To abuse him and malign his character and slander him and mock him. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he remained firm. Are we going to remain firm, brothers and sisters, at this time? And the same methods that the people of falsehood of old, they tried to utilize against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are the same methods that are being used today. It's just different names, different people, na'am, and maybe they refer to these things with different titles and different names. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they recognized that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his da'wah, Allah Azza wa Jalla was blessing his call and people were accepting it. Yes, because look, alhamdulillah, the Muslims, we are not a violent people. That's a myth that they try to make stick. However, look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca, he was calling the people to La ilaha illallah. The companions and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they tried to worship at the Haram, and they were the ones being persecuted, like what we find in the world today. Rohingya, the Muslim genocide in Rohingya. You have mass concentration camps in China. The situation in India. What's going to change the situation of the Muslims? The same thing that's going to change it is not everyone going. Anyone can demonstrate. The madman, the immoral man. Anyone can demonstrate. What's going to change our state is what changed the state of the first generation, meaning Tawheed and Sunnah, remaining firm upon that. When they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said to the Prophet,
when the Quraysh had tried various methods to stop the da'wah of the Prophet wasallam, and they accused him of being a poet, and that failed. They accused him of being a liar, that failed. Now they tried to threaten him and his well-being, that failed. They physically harmed him, that failed. They gathered him and they made him an offer. They offered him money, they offered him women, they offered him treatment, because they said, if you have an illness, we will find the best doctor for you. The Prophet ﷺ rejected all of that. The problem today with many of the Muslims, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ, you go to them and you say, you have to accept this. And there's a lot of pressure. How many people are standing up firm and saying, you know what, I don't accept this. This is haram. Allah said in the Quran, كَذَا. You ask them about this question, what do you say about covering? Allah has commanded the Muslim woman to cover. I can't change that. What do you say about zina, fornication? A zina is haram. Allah Azzawajal, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forbade it, it's clear. And the list could go on and on. How many people do you find, even from those who say that they are Islamic speakers and Islamic scholars, stand firm upon the religion of Allah Azzawajal? So as regular Muslims, no one can say, you can't say, you know, well, you know, I'm following that particular individual and wherever they take me, I'm going to go with them. No. Alhamdulillah, we hope that Allah Azzawajal blesses the youth and blesses Ahl al-Islam, that from amongst us, there will be those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes revivers of the religion, that stand firm, no matter of the amount of intimidation that they meet along the way. And they use, like we said, well, they'll come to you, it's about money. They'll come to you, or it's about, you know, citizenship. Or they'll come to you, it's about this and it's about that. Sadly, some people, they will try and rewrite and redefine the religion based upon what's acceptable. And you find this as a practice among some, that the religion to them is what suits their lifestyle. And that's a major mistake. The religion is not what is suitable for my lifestyle. The religion is what Allah has revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah said in the Quran, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاء شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Do they have shuraka, partners, that legislated for them things of the religion that Allah gave no permission for? Ikhwan, this is something as well that's plaguing even some organizations. Even so, in the West you have organizations that say that we are mainstream Muslim organizations, but look at some of the things that they're trying to promote and some of the things that they are trying to align themselves with. You see clearly it goes against the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these liberalists, they know it, but what do? They say, you know what, may Allah grant us all firmness. They say, as human beings, we know that the nature of man, that they are weak. Allah Azzawajal, He says in the Quran, man was created weak. And there is no strength except with Allah Azzawajal. If we want to send these Muslims astray, if we want these Muslims to water down their religion, if we want to feed them this ideology of disbelief, we have to pick from amongst them some leaders who may have been respected, but we have to bring them to our wavelength and our way of thinking, and they will do the job for us. And we're saying it now. And the only people, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّةِ, and this is in every time, that they know that they cannot divert from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ إِلَى السُّنَّةِ, the people of the Sunnah in every day and age. That's why, look, if you look at the Orientalist teaching, when in the various universities, those who study Islam from the academics, the non-Muslims, when they look at Ahl al-Sunnah, like for example, you read about Al-Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, the non-Muslims, the mustashriqoon, they say that Barbahari was a fanatic, wal-iyadu billah. Why? Because they said that they demonized the Hanabila, those who follow the methodology and the aqidah of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. Because it's known that the Hanabila, many of them were firm upon Quran and Sunnah. So they say that these individuals, they were fanatics. But us of the Sufi, the Sufis, they are wonderful people. why is that? Why are the Sufis, you know, Rumi, you know, and others? I read a book, subhanAllah, and I don't want any of your brothers, I'm not going to mention the title and the name of what I read. It was written by a person that ascribes to the religion of Islam. And he used to be an extremist. That's another person, group of people that they use. They say, you know, this individual, he was extreme. You know, at one point in time, he was a member of Hizb al-Tahrir, and he was locked up in Egypt, and he knows about radicalization, and he knows about extremism. He was a sellout then. He didn't understand the religion then, like he doesn't understand the religion now. But he's their Trojan horse, right? So they bring a person like that, and he'll write books about Islam. You know, and like the right or the left, depending upon which spectrum you fall, you know, they will promote this type of person, and he's on BBC and, you know, Fox News or the various stations and channels. It was a book I read. When I read the book, it was about, you know, defining the correct religion of Islam. I think I was coming to the UK or I was going back to America. It was one of the two. I said, let me see how these people are trying to misguide the Muslims using these people. SubhanAllah, I read the book. Wallahi, alladhi la ilaha illa huwa. This individual says that he's a Muslim. He was praising the extreme Sufis, right? And the reason why he was saying that, because, you know, they allow khamr, they allow people to drink. They allow this, you know, they have all types, you know, they don't care about shit. So the reason why the Sufis will be loved him because they allow everything. What deen do you have if you allow everything? But again, it goes back to that concept of what liberalism is. And liberalism, we say to them, if you are really liberal, and liberalism is what? You are freedom to choose, you are free to choose what you want to choose. Then leave me be free to establish my religion. Leave me be free to establish my religion. And respect that as long as we live together in peace and harmony. You do not harm me and I will not harm you. And if religiously we disagree with one another or theologically, let it be a battle of truth and falsehood and see who is victorious. But they know that they have nothing that can go against the religion of Islam. Can't stand with it. That's why the truth has come and falsehood will always disappear. So, Ikhwan, I don't want to go on too long because I know my space was short. There's a lot that could be said. And this was my lecture was going to be concerning this, but in more detail. It's important that we raise our children, teach them what actually liberalism, hyper-liberalism is. What they are being taught in the school is not really liberalism. It's a religion. And they are being taught to worship their desires. And that far, it can lead a person to apostasy and reject the religion of Islam. Now Allah should protect us from that. And that's sadly why some Muslim children who are not educated about the religion of Islam, if you send them to these type of environments, and when they go to school or they go to college, and they're bombarded on a daily basis, but they don't have any understanding of Islam, they're not confident in their Islamic identity, they're easy targets. We need to teach them what is correct, the correct belief, the correct position, and the futility of that which opposes it, so that they are able to deal with these doubts. Because alhamdulillah, yes, even for example, an atheist, when it comes, because even some atheists, their religion is science. Their religion, that's a deen, they worship science. Because to them science, even though it's based at times on theory, that's their religion. For a Muslim, alhamdulillah, when we study, for example, you study the biology of the human cell, the difference between the prokaryotic cell and the eukaryotic cell, when you look at the cell of the human body and you see how Allah has designed the cell with the various, you know, the nucleus and the DNA and the mitochondria and the Krebs cycle and all of these laws, even in the cell. For me, when I studied in university, alhamdulillah, it increased my iman. It was like, subhanAllah, this is amazing. Look at that, look at these laws and look at these patterns and how, you know, the mitochondria is the engine of the cell and how energy, you know, is produced and so on and so forth by what Allah has decreed. And it was like, subhanAllah, the creation of Allah is amazing. But they just, you know, to him it just, you know, he thinks that he's so intelligent and smart and he still doesn't have basic answers. But again, Ikhwan, it's important that we teach ourselves and our children to be confident with their Islamic belief, with their Islamic identity,
and not intimidating. And other people, if you look in America, you have the evangelical Christians. The evangelical Christians, no doubt, they're not Muslims and they're from shit. But they stand up when you ask them about certain issues that are taking place today. They'll say, we don't accept that. That goes against our religion. But we as Muslims, we can't do the same as that when it comes to our religion, which is the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the deen, in the Allah al-Islam, the religion with Allah Azza wa Jal is al-Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever desires a religion other than the religion of Islam, it will never be accepted from them, and in the hereafter they're from the losers. We have the deen of Allah. We don't have the courage to do that. Subhanallah. And when they challenge us, let's try and stand firm. We don't agree with that. We won't accept that. Not that when you're on a radio program like Mufti Mink, when they asked him, and I said this before and I'll repeat it, when they asked him, what do you say about such and such? What if they choose to be? That's up to them. What answer is that? What do you What answer is that? Just because you want to visit that country in Europe, you want to be off the extremist list, so you're willing to compromise your religion? Now, Allah will grant us to affirm this. But Ikhwan, this, I'm telling you, this battle is long. And I heard a clip of Sheikh Salah al-Sheikh, and he was talking about the battle between, you know, Ahlul Islam and the Freemasons and liberalism and these type of things. He said they're not interested in this idea, what they try and say, you know, safety and peace and security and respecting one another. He said no, rather they want to replace our religion. Some of them, they want to replace. It's not that, alhamdulillah, you look the way that you look. You know, you believe what you believe. No, they want to say, you believe what we believe. You must look how we look. Now, you must accept what we accept. You must say to be moral, what we say is moral. You must say that this is immoral if we hold it to be immoral. That's not liberalism in any sense. Or other, that's dictatorship. Why? Because it goes back to their deen. And another danger, Ikhwan, is what? Another trap. If the people take rappers and actors and these so-called stars to be their role models, they're going to lead you, wal-iyadu billah, many times right to the hellfire. How many of them stand for nothing? How many of them have said things, and because of the pressure from the media, even if they believe it to be wrong, they'll come out, I'm very sorry I said that. They don't believe in nifaq, hypocrisy. But they're scared because they know they're going to be blackballed. So now the average person, if you respect the wrong person, for Ahlul Islam, our role model is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best example. Our examples of the Sahaba was Salihun, the prophets and the messengers. But if your role model is a football player, if your role model is a rapper, when their money is threatened, they're liable to say anything. Look what they did to that football player. I can't remember who he was when he, you know, I think he opposed China. Wallahu a'lam. Look what they tried to do to him. I don't know his name. It's not. I just want to make the point. I don't know his name. Now, and I don't know what he's the fun. I'm just making the point that there's a level of intimidation, and those people, they won't stand up for it because at the end of the day, they're an actor because they want money, right? They're a singer because they want money. They're a rapper because they want money. And look at the message. You know, they're calling people to the hellfire. They're glorifying fornication. They're glorifying drugs. They're glorifying knife crime. That's why anyone who's in the music industry and they glorify these things, and then they're on the television talking about knife crime, they're a hypocrite. How am I meant to listen to you? And you're talking about going around the corner and stabbing somebody, or the glorification of selling drugs. But you're a freedom fighter in your spare time. It's a joke. You're the epidemic. That you're the one. You are the very cause of the youth on the street selling drugs because you glorified that life. Why didn't you glorify going to school and getting an education and trying to fear Allah Azza wa Jalla and staying away from the devil? Because it's immorality. It's a tool of the shaitan. Allah can be said, Ikhwan. Barakallahu feekum. And Allah Azza wa Jalla pardon us for any shortcomings. And Allah Azza wa Jalla bless Ahlul Islam and protect the Muslims. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to bless from amongst the youth and bless from amongst the brothers and the sisters, people who will carry this religion and defend it. And that's why we have the supplication, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Make us leaders for the believers, for the people of piety.
So, you know, nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong asking Allah to make me from the heads of piety, or a leader for the people of piety, because you want to be a role model for the people of good. You don't care what anyone else thinks about you, except for Ahl al-Taqwa wa Ahl al-Istiqam. Allah will grant us all success. If I said anything that was incorrect, then it's from myself and from the Shaytan. And if I said anything that was correct, it was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Any questions or comments or corrections with regards to anything that was said, barakallahu feekum.
The brother wrote to our sister, when you speak to me later, I can't understand the question. How should we advise someone who believes in prioritizing the rights of the people over the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, because they say Allah is also giving the people will take their rights? The way to advise someone who holds something like this is that, first of all, we establish that we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wal khaliqu al raziqu wal mudabbiru, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the creator, He is the sustainer, He is the one who controls all affairs, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has beautiful names and perfect attributes. From the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla, as we mentioned in our talk, brief talk, is that Hakim, the All-Wise. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is the All-Wise as it relates to the way that He created the creation, and He is the All-Wise as it relates to His laws and His legislation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim. As we mentioned, وَالدِّينُ مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى الْمَصَالِحِ فِي جَلْبِهَا وَالدَّرْقِ لِلْقَبَائِحِ. The religion is built upon weighing the harm against the benefits, and we give precedence to what, and precedence is given to what is in the overall benefit of mankind. As we said, alhamdulillah, explaining that briefly, that Allah Azza wa Jalla legislates things that are beneficial to mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one that legislates, He is the one that commands, He is the one that prohibits. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَن يُتْرَكَ سُدًى. Do mankind believe that they will be left, and they are not commanded, nor are they prohibited? So if we believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, then we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is to be obeyed. And we believe that the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, they are to be followed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمَ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It is not for a believing man nor a believing woman, once Allah and His Messenger decide a matter, that they have any choice in that affair. Allah knows best. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If somebody believes in Allah, then they have to believe Allah knows and you know not. If somebody believes in Allah, then they have to believe that perhaps as a human being we will like things and they're harmful for us, as Allah mentions in the Quran, and we will hate things and those things are beneficial for us. If we believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla, then we have to believe that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the all-knowing. And as a human being, a created being, our knowledge is very limited. And look, ikhwan, that's why no matter how intelligent a person is, no matter where they study, no matter who they study with, no matter what university they went to, no matter how many books they read, opinion, a person's opinion is based upon what? The level of their knowledge, also the level of their experience. And likewise, it's based upon their environment and upbringing. I think we would all agree upon that. What's the oldest person according to the Guinness Book of Records? I don't know. Anybody know? 120 years of age. If somebody lived 120 years, still, they would have a limited amount of knowledge, a limited amount of experience,
and they would still be affected by the society that they were raised in, their upbringing. Some people, they suffer from traumas. You know, they have traumas that they encounter in their life that affects their outlook when they become older. That's sunnatullah fi khalqi. So regardless of how intelligent a person is, they will never be able to make every decision correctly, and they will never be able to understand what is in the benefits of the whole of mankind, because they're in a limited sphere. Allah Azza wa Jalla, however, is our creator. We believe as a Muslim that Allah Azza wa Jalla subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows what is beneficial for us, and He knows what is harmful for us. So my ability and my understanding is limited. Again, that's why we said this matter of what we spoke about in relation to Tawheed, because a person says, no, you know what? This is what law that is mentioned in the Quran. I don't accept it. I reject it, because in reality, this is better than it. Well, the other bit, that's this belief. Because you're saying your ruling and judgment is better than the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
What
do
you advise? What's the best way to explain to them, to the general Muslim or the non-Muslim in university, they ask you, why do you defend yourself from your university's Islamic society, because most of them are Ikhwani or political in nature, so they're like, oh, why are you practicing Muslim, why are you a practicing Muslim, but you are not affiliating yourself with the Islamic society, why not with them, etc.
I would have preferred for the question to be on topic, but love that answer, inshallah ta'ala. Naam. The brother asked, with regards to many of the Islamic societies in universities, you find that many of them are politically orientated and they have some serious errors, so a person may ask, why do you distance yourself from the Islamic society and not partake in their activities and so on and so forth? The reality is, Ikhwan, if we look again, and I say this from experience, not based upon second-hand information, if you look at many of these organizations, they are based upon partisanship to opinions and methodologies that Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed no legislation for. To the extent that if you oppose them in a matter that, alhamdulillah, you are upon that which is correct and they are upon that which is false, they will never afford you the opportunity to actually educate and teach the people. And many times, sadly, these societies, they're not interested in educating the Muslims about their religion. Rather, they want an Ashid party. They want to sing along, right? Or they have comedians coming, or the like of these type of events. However, I have a son that we say, we want to educate our brothers and our sisters. Alhamdulillah, people can enjoy themselves as long as it's lawful. And you don't need me to, you know, play football in the park, do you? Or to have some lawful recreation. But when we get together, let's learn our religion. They don't want that, many times. They want entertainment. So in that type of situation, a person, alhamdulillah, I want to learn my religion, I want to be around people that want to learn their religion, I want to be around people that are trying to learn about the Islamic belief and the importance of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who stay away from innovation and shirk and ma'asi. Many times you'll find that they will ostracize, they will warn against you. And some people may say, well, how do we interact with them? Still, alhamdulillah, the common people, we still give them, we give them da'wah, you give them, for example, whether it's lectures or literature and so on and so forth. The general Muslims, we still interact with them. We still interact with the general Muslims. Say, for example, there's a Muslim, he's an army, he's a common person, and alhamdulillah, he's in my class. He's an army, he doesn't know anything, he doesn't call, he's not a caller. I don't say, you know, sorry. You give me salam, I turn my face. If he's an army, a common person, then I give him a lecture. Take him to the masjid, if you can teach him Quran, sometimes alhamdulillah, the people of the sunnah, you might have a buddy, the hafiz, alhamdulillah, I'm able to, I teach Quran, sit him down, teach him sunnah, teach him 40 hadith, and alhamdulillah, that person, bi'indillahi ta'ala, is a person that is sincere, and Allah has just granted them success to accept the truth, you will see the change.
But with regards to the Islamic society, if they're doing something that is bid'ah, we don't cooperate upon that. If they're doing something that's ma'asiyah, we don't cooperate upon that. And at the same time, normally they're not interested in any type of... Sheikh Mubi used to say, he said the one thing we find common amongst many of them, you see that all of them, regardless of them claiming that they want cooperation, they in reality, they want against the people of the Sunnah, which is true. And this is the same with regards to ISIS and other things. Somebody said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. As you mentioned, we should teach our children about the reality of hyper or neoliberalism and how it is a religion. Should you recommend any books which we can teach from? I mean, our brother Sheikh Amjad Rafiq Hafidhullah Ta'ala, if you look at his website, in reality, again, Ithimarin Ta'rifunum, you know a person through their fruits and their efforts. He has, I think, what's atheism? .com, .net, those type of websites, alhamdulillah. He has a number of resources that deal with a lot of the common shubahat, doubts that are out there. Jazakumullah khairan. I would advise the brothers and the sisters to benefit from that. Also, maybe in the lectures that are coming, you know, whether here and other masajid, maybe a brother can go into more detail and explain it even better than I have now, talking about this idea of neoliberalism and how it is a religion and the dangers involved in it. Maybe, alhamdulillah, the brothers can ask some of the mashayikh to write maybe a book concerning it. I mean, alhamdulillah, in the Arab world, with alhamd as well, the scholars, alhamdulillah, have addressed this. In the Arab world, it's known as a liberaliyah, liberalism. Many of the senior scholars, the Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, and other than them, the Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, Hafidhahum Allah Ta'ala, and other than them have addressed it, because they realize the danger of these type of movements. Naam. It is related to the talk. It's related to the topic. Because many of the questions, I'll be honest with you, when people are asking, Sa'afat, and Sa'afat, at the end of the day, there's, you know, numerous questions. It's ridiculous. We're talking about the battle between Iman and Kufr, and they want to take us down a road that is ridiculous. Now, and it is related to that. These questions, I tell you, at the end of the day, those who want to be upon anarchy and chaos, let them go ahead. Ignore them. Nihayin. Salaf, they said it. I do not see anything that is more powerful than ignoring them as Sufis. Because what do they have? People of anarchy, al-arwah jilud al-mujannada. The souls are like a recruited army. Somebody who's an anarchist and they just want chaos, they will be with people like that. Let them go and be in chaos with one another. But if you keep turning to them, you make them something that's important. Barakallahu feekum. I'm just saying that from some of the questions that are here, you know, there's no benefit. Barakallahu feekum. There's real issues that we need to address. There's real core issues, and there are battles taking place in the world that the people of the Sunnah, they need to be vocal with regards to them. You know, and if we focus on these foolish affairs, you know, issues where individuals have invented for their own, you know, masalik benefits, it's going to sidetrack us. Let them say what they say. Let them write what they write. Barakallahu feekum. As they say, the barking dogs do not affect the movement of the caravans, right? Jazakumullah khair. I said to the brothers, another example, below is the sewers, yeah? We're not worried about the rats, are we? When you don't wake up and say, oh, what the rats doing today? I wonder what they do. Right? Social media, so what? What they say, people say Twitter, or look what they said today, so what? You don't have anything better to do than send me something that somebody said about me on Twitter. Send me an ayah, hadith. We're getting closer to the grave. 41 years of age, send me something to benefit my soul. I don't care what they say, so what? If it's true, inshallah, hopefully I accept the haq. If it's false, they have to deal with the yawm al-qiyamah. Those individuals need khadrihim, barakallahu feekum. Alhamdulillah, ikhwan, the mas'uliyah, the responsibility upon the people of the Sunni is great. Let's focus upon learning and promoting and disseminating this knowledge. Your relevance is not through me or anybody else. It's through you adhering to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If you are sincere and you hold on to the haq, Allah will raise you no matter what anyone else is about you. That's the promise from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Don't worry about the human being. حفظكم الله
No, about the, that, right?
What is the advice if it's one person accepts Islam and another Muslim say we don't believe him, we don't accept that Muslim because you maybe you know him not understand you or something like that?
I mean, if somebody accepts Islam,
and what is he not about these people?
I mean, if somebody says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, I testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, and alhamdulillah zahira, you know, that which is apparent is that they are Muslim, we accept from them. If they say Islam of yaqeen, then yazub bishak. If somebody's Islam is established with certainty, it's not removed by doubt. All we have is what is apparent. We leave their heart, that is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's dangerous. If somebody says, you know, a person accepts Islam and they say, you know what, I don't really believe that they're Muslim, wal-iyyadu billah, that's a khatir. And if a person says that that person is not Muslim, man qala li akhihi ya kafir, whoever says about their brother that they're a disbeliever, then he returns back to one of them. May Allah protect us from that. So I would advise the brothers, be very cautious. Somebody, alhamdulillah, they embrace Islam. Alhamdulillah, they embrace Islam. What is that? Alhamdulillah. Obviously, there are things that will nullify a person's Islam as well. So if somebody say, you know, I embrace Islam, but then they abuse Allah Azza wa Jalla, they insult Allah, they insult the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now that person is not a Muslim.
But because it's beginning, you know, just one day after, and I inform another brother, he accepts Islam, then say, we don't believe in drinking alcohol. But
that's a mistake. Listen, at the end of the day, alhamdulillah, a person embraces Islam by saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said Mu'adh, he said to Yemen, he said إِنَّكَ تَخْتَمْ عَلَى قُومِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, you are going to a people from the people of the book. Let the first thing you call them to is La ilaha illallah. If they accept that, then inform them that Allah Azza wa Jalla has prescribed to them 5 daily prayers. You know, 5 prayers during their day and their night, to the end of the hadith. If they accept that, then tell them that Allah Azza wa Jalla subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for them az-zakat, to the end of the hadith, the meaning of the hadith. We only have what's apparent. Sins, al-ma'ati, التي هي دون الكفر, التي هي دون الشرك, sins, disobedience, that are less than shirk, like drinking alcohol. That doesn't remove somebody from the fold of Islam. That doesn't take somebody outside the fold of Islam. If I say that somebody is not a Muslim because they drink khamr, that's the methodology of the Khawarij.
Because the point is, you can't say to him, don't stop alcohol straight away. But
no, we can't. That's a mistake. We can't. We can say to him, see, that, see, again, when we give da'wah, it has to be based upon knowledge. Because you can't say that what you just said is a mistake. Even there's two mistakes here. The one mistake is the people that say that because he's after embracing Islam, he's not a Muslim because he drinks alcohol. That's the methodology of the Khawarij. But at the same time, the mistake that you just mentioned, we can't tell him that you can't drink alcohol. Yes, we can't tell him. We can say to him, alcohol is haram. Naam, alcohol is forbidden for you. But at the same time, yes, if it's difficult for him, we still advise him. You know, we take his situation into consideration. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when they brought the individual to the Prophet ﷺ, look, this shows us, ikhwan, that ilm, even when you deal with people, you have to have knowledge. How do I deal with a person correctly? Because there's one of two extremes. You can either go to extremes like the Khawarij, or you fall into the extremes of negligence like the Murji'ah. Ahl al-Sunnah are upon a balance way. When they brought at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when they brought the individual to the Prophet ﷺ who was drinking, now some of the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim, they started to curse him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not curse him. Do not aid the shaytan against your brother. Do not aid the devil against your brother. This individual, because he was drinking, yes, he was punished. So look, you can't say yes, continue to drink. No, that's a khata, that's a mistake. He was punished at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But at the same time, after that, they were instructed and taught to make dua for him. May Allah guide that person. May Allah rectify his affair, and so on and so forth. So you see, our position is balanced. That's what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. We don't go to the extremes of the Khawarij, or you drink alcohol, you're not a Muslim. That's takfir. But at the same time, we don't go to the other way of irja. No, continue to drink alcohol. No, we say to him, alcohol is haram, it's forbidden in the religion of Islam. Intoxicants are haram. Marijuana, whether it's cocaine or anything else, haram in the religion. As a new Muslim, you know that iman increases and it decreases. قَالَ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنُوا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Iman increases and decreases. So you know, a new Muslim,
needs assistance, right? So we know that, inshallah, we have wisdom, we have understanding, bismillah ta'ala, the way that we deal with people, we know that he's accepted at Islam. But Islam, he has to acquire knowledge. He has to learn about the religion. He has to do things that will cause his iman to increase. So yes, him drinking, I'm going to say, you know what, you shouldn't drink. It's detrimental for your health. It's detrimental for your akhirah. But at the same time, I'm going to try and give him da'wah, stay in contact with him and so on and so forth. Like Shaykh al-Mathaymi said, when you have new Muslims, he said, alhamdulillah, when they accept that Islam, sometimes, you know, unfortunately, you know, when somebody embraces Islam and you see them, they film it, and they stand beside you with ayyadu billah, Allahu Akbar, you know, and then afterwards, khalas, the cameras go away, he's left to the wall. That's a mistake. Alhamdulillah, no doubt it's a blessing. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِعَلِيَهَدِي اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرًا لَكَ مِنْ حُمَرِ النَّعَمِ. That if Allah has your guides through you, one person is better than the red camel, meaning any worldly possession, right? So alhamdulillah, yes, if you give da'wah and you're sincere, and somebody accepts Islam through your da'wah, your reward is great, بِإِنِّ ta'ala, by the will of Allah. But still there's work to be done. Stay in contact with them. You give them money, gifts, hadaya. Not like, oh, why do we tell people? Why do we have to treat them special? Man might have no family. You know, no support network. That's why in our masajid, that's why I say we're foolish and we don't have time. There should be a group of brothers or a group of sisters, a committee, that their responsibility is to take care of the new Muslims. That's their job. So alhamdulillah, they have a list of new Muslims. You know, their responsibility, they call the brother. I'm going to the masjid, you coming? There's a lesson, you coming? Sisters with the sisters, the brothers with the brothers. Imagine the fruits of the da'wah if we all took that on.
And I need one of the boys, he is Romania. And I tried to find him in Romania, but we know he's
alhamdulillah, faqqaf Allah Mustafa.
I don't understand English as well.
Do what you can, alhamdulillah. La yukallif Allah nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah doesn't overburden us all more than he can do. But there's many things that we need to establish. Ash-Shahid, all of us. Things that to improve our communities and to help our communities grow, all of us need to establish things. And if we focus upon things that are beneficial, imagine the fruits. Barakallahu fi kum. The next talk is 5:10. Hafidhukum Allah, Jazakum Allah khairan wa barakallahu feekum. And again, may Allah bless the brothers and the sisters for their patience. And likewise, alhamdulillah, their cooperation to see the light of these gatherings. No doubt, alhamdulillah, brings joy to the heart of the people, alhamdulillah, to see, you know, the cooperation upon good, alhamdulillah. Wa Jazakum Allah khairan. May Allah grant us all good deeds. Subhanallah, Allah wa bihamdihi, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه.